Howdy do, buckaroos. This is the Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast for Monday, October 29th, 2018.
I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have two guests to talk about some very interesting topics today. I have with me Jeff Gamet. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, Kelly. It's awesome to be here. And it's actually kind of cool to be on this side of the show.
It's the same seat, but it's a totally different microphone, isn't it?
It's a totally different microphone, and it's cool to be a guest on your first show. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And helping me break in the host seat, I have another guest with me, Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me. It's awesome to be here.
So actually, Dave, I want to start with you because one of the things we want to talk about is that the iPhone XR made its grand debut this weekend, and you are one of the people who got one.
Yeah, it made its grand debut in my, well, I was going to say in my mailbox, but no, it came UPS. So yes, I got it, which meant I didn't actually get it until about 11 p.m. on Friday because I don't think it showed up until about 7 and I was out doing a show. So
okay.
Yeah.
So let's ask the important question first. What color did you get?
I got the product red color. I had product red iPods in the past, and I really liked the way it looked. So it was sort of a no-brainer to go back to that, and it does. It looks spectacular on this. It's really, really nice, and I was glad that the one case that I got at the last PepCom I was at, the Catalyst folks gave me a clear back case for the 10R. So yeah, I'm actually able to keep it in a case and still enjoy the product redness about it. So yeah.
So footnote to this to me is that there are cases available for the iPhone XR. Apple isn't selling them, which I think is sort of interesting. But you can get one, and you can get one with a clear back in order to show off whatever color you got, whether it's red or something incorrect.
Yeah, I wish Apple had not done the glass back on this, to be perfectly frank. I think that might have made it less necessary to have a case on it. So there you go, from my standpoint. But yeah.
So what was your phone before this showed up? Were you on a 10?
An iPhone 10. Yeah, just a regular size 10.
Okay, and does this feel like an upgrade from that device?
That's an interesting question. So it's definitely a little faster, not remarkably so for the things I normally do. But, you know, I've only had it a little more than 48 hours. So certainly the first 24 hours was it doing a lot of things that sort of, you know, the indexing and the downloading and the, you know, setting itself up. I just did the restore from an iCloud backup from my 10, but even still, there's lots that it has to do in the background and in the foreground. So, yesterday I started to realize, oh, this thing's fast and okay, cool. And yesterday my battery life was actually quite remarkable. Saturday, it sort of sucked. It was like, oh, this seems worse than the 10. But again, not, you know, like, I knew why, right? Yesterday, I think I finished the day 50% or above, whereas that was rare on my 10. So yeah, which is good. Yeah.
Honestly, that's the thing that I found with my watch is that when I put it on the charger at night, because I got a Series 4, I went from the 0 to the 4. And so I put it on at night and it's like more than half charged already. And every night since I got my watch and I've put it on the charger, I've been happy.
Yeah.
Yay,
right.
Look at all that battery I have left. Yeah.
So yeah, from, you know, certainly from a battery standpoint, from a size standpoint, it, like if I put it next to the 10, it's larger. It definitely feels larger, and the screen is a little bigger. It's not, again, not remarkably so, but yes, it is bigger. It is not as nice of a screen, and that is apparent.
I was about to ask.
Yeah, that was immediately apparent. Believe it or not, reading text. Looking at photos at first I was like, oh, it's fine. But if I brought up the same photo on the 10 versus the 10R, it was like, oh yeah. You can see the contrast and the shading and all that. Certainly better on the OLED screen. But, the text is where I really noticed the difference. It almost feels, it's not pixelated. That's the wrong word, but it's not
as crisp and sharp.
It's not as crisp and sharp. Yeah.
Dave, I've seen the exact same thing when I'm using my external display, which is this giant honkin' HP thing, and it's almost Retina. And when I look at stuff on the screen, all the graphics look beautiful, and the text, it's fine. It looks good until I compare it to the Retina screen, and then it's like the text is almost out of focus. But it's not. Mm-hmm. It's just that the Retina screen, that high resolution screen, gives you enough density with the pixels that you get that smoother, sharper, crisper look to the text. So I'm not surprised at all. Noticing the lower resolution in the text.
Well, and I mean, it is lower resolution, right? It's 326 mm-hmm. pixels per inch versus 458 on the iPhone X, right? So, I mean, that's – and yes, my eyes, old as they may be, can see the difference for sure.
Because the line where you stop being able to see that, like the line where the human eye, regardless of age or whatever
– sure.
can only perceive up to some point, and it's somewhere in between those two numbers. So, yeah, it makes sense that the other one would be sharper.
Yeah, yeah. But again, it was noticeable. That honestly was the thing that took me the longest to get used to. But I realize now, having this conversation, that I did not think about that when, you know, checking things this morning as I got up and got going. So it's not bad. It's just, definitely, that is a downgrade. Camera-wise, I know officially it's a downgrade. I seem to think that in low light, the 10R camera is better than the 10's dual cameras, from what I've seen.
Well, doesn't the 10R have the same sensor as the 10S?
Yes, that's correct. Mm-hmm. It's an upgrade, but not as much of an upgrade, sort of. Right? Because you're dropping one lens, but you're getting a better lens and all of that. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to call it an upgrade, even though you only have one lens.
It definitely feels like one. Yeah. Yeah. Specs wise, as we just discussed, it's sort of a toss up, but experientially, it's an upgrade. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. You know, my daughter was home for an afternoon from school yesterday, and she was in line. My wife's always next in line because that's how it works. But my wife is actually very happy with her iPhone 7. She does not want to give up the home button quite yet. You know, she hears me mm-hmm. cursing Face ID enough that she's not interested. And so she said, no, let the kids fight about it. And with that, my daughter was sort of next in line. And so she grabbed the 10 yesterday. So this is the fastest that I've let go of my previous phone when upgrading, right? You know, that normally I kind of keep the two around for a little while, but that left. And I'm not sure how I feel about that. Like on Saturday, I was really thinking, this text thing, I might be happier just sticking with the 10 and let the 10R float around the family here. And of course, I mean, I could go back. I could ask my daughter to bring the phone back.
Right choice.
Letting your daughter take
the phone.
Yeah. Yesterday this was not a concern for me, and today it's even less of a concern. But, you know, there was that initial transition from OLED to not OLED. So yes, mm-hmm. you can see the difference. But that's the only part, truly the only part, that feels like a downgrade, and it's a very short-lived, you know, change adaptation for me for that. Otherwise, yeah. No, I'm really happy. I've heard other reviewers say this. The iPhone XR is the iPhone that most people should consider getting. It's got all the right guts. It comes in pretty colors, which is actually kind of a cool thing. To me, it's a good size. I mean, I'm not a fan of big Mondo phones, but this one isn't. It doesn't feel like a big Mondo phone in my pocket. Maybe I've just adapted. Maybe clothing manufacturers have adapted.
You also have pockets, so yeah, right. That's a rant for another day.
Yeah, totally different rant. Yeah, exactly. But
So my question, a thing I want to point out is that you were talking about the difference in the screen, because the iPhone X is OLED and the XR is not.
Right.
And the 10, for people who are curious if this is going to affect them, the iPhone 10 is the first one that's OLED, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
So if you're upgrading, so if you are Dave's wife and you have a 7, or you're Kelly and you have an 8, or even a plus, if you're looking to upgrade to a newer phone, you're going to get a nicer version of the screen that you already have. If you go from a 10 to a 10R, that's when you're going to notice the difference, because the 10 is OLED.
Right.
So
yeah, very few people doing what I did. Right. Because right. Yes. Yeah. And I realized that. So yeah, no, for most people, the 10R right. will feel very much like an upgrade in every way. And you're really not missing out on much except the extra cash outlay. Now, I mean, it's, you know, like I got the 128 gig, which you can do in the 10R and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's arguably $200 to $300 savings over what you would do to get something similar in the, you know, the 10S or the 10S Max. And like,
right, because the 10R is $799.
Yeah. And percentage wise, that $200 or whatever it is certainly a lot of money, right? I mean, it's 20% mm-hmm. phone. Over the course of 3 years, does that $200 matter? Not, I mean, for most people that are able to spend $800 on a phone, you know, spread across 2 to 3 years, which it seems like is what people tend to keep phones for, that $200 mm-hmm. probably isn't all that much. I don't mean to impose my right. thoughts, but really it's $200 over the course of 3 years.
Yeah, when you're talking about it over 24 months,
yeah.
you're talking about, you know, $10 or something, which when you break it up like that is not so bad.
It's not so bad.
I think for some people, it's the mental hurdle of the yes. four-digit number on the new phone, which is part of what I had a hard time with.
Absolutely. But even in that case, and you know, thinking about it from that perspective, like I still feel like that there's no reason not to get the 10R. Like, yeah, it's only another $200 over the course of X number of years. But why? Just get the 10R. Right. Unless you really
and
care.
And especially if you're coming from
screen.
Something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you're coming from a previous device, because I'll tell you, that's why I have an 8. Is last year when it became decision time, I sat down and I went, you know, I'm probably going to swap this out in 2 years, and I can't bring myself to pay $1,000 for something I'm only going to get 2 years out of, because at my house, we don't have kids, so I don't have people to hand these off to
right.
regularly. Like, my parents are on their own phone setups and everything else, so like, it doesn't benefit me at all to go, oh, well, you know, if I buy it, like, I know it's going to have a life of 5 or 6 years because it's going to go to this person and then this person, whatever. Right. So I don't have any of that. So that's part of why I ended up just getting the 8 instead and saving $200, because I was also buying outright. Like, if you're doing yeah. the payment plan or you're on one of the lease sort of, you know, jump or whatever they call the programs, you know, where you pay $25 a month yeah, forever yeah, yeah. and you just go turn in your new phone, that's a different story. So, because yep. a lot of people went with the 10 because they were like, it used to cost me $27 a month and now it's 33. So, of course, I'm getting a 10.
Right.
You know, like
right,
when you look sure. at it that way, it's not a big deal. So, yep. I would be curious to hear from people if you got an XR, what you think of it now that you've had it for a weekend. I feel like I think overall it's going to be a really popular phone. I think this is sort of their iPhone SE move.
But not really. Like, the SE was underpowered in more ways than this is. This is not underpowered.
Well, it was a 6S and a 5S outside.
Yeah.
In a 5S skin, which right. at the time was the current phone.
That's true.
So
that's true. Yeah, that's right.
It's just that it never got updated.
Right.
So...
Right.
Like, nothing ever happened with it. It never got any better, which is disappointing, because I know people who after the event said, thank you, Apple, for saving me $1,000, because I was going to buy the new iPhone SE and now I'm not.
Yep.
So I wonder if maybe a compelling argument can be made for this one. I don't know. We'll have to see, because yeah. it is bigger. That's part of why a lot of people I know who have the SE are in love with it, because it's the right size and don't want anything bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, and I can't say I blame them, because mine is bigger and it makes me grumpy on a regular basis because my thumb only goes so far and I can't do anything about that. There's no upgrade for my thumb. So anyway, I also wanted to talk to you guys, speaking of Apple events, I wanted to talk to you about what we're hearing about tomorrow morning's event. And as a PSA, it is starting at 10 a.m., but it's starting at 10 a.m. Eastern time because the event's taking place in New York. And so us on the East Coast are going to have to roll out a little early in order to make sure we get everything covered. So one thing that we've heard a little bit about is an icon for the new iPad Pro. Now, Jeff, do you want to talk to us about that?
Sure. So all the experts that go digging through the code for the betas for whatever Apple's going to release, they're always looking for hints at what's coming next. And in the iOS 12.1 beta, developer betas, we've had, the usual suspects finding all kinds of little things. And in the case of this new icon, it's Guillermo Rambo from 9to5 Mac, and he found an icon in the code that is the new iPad. So you can see where the buttons are on it. You can see the rounded corners for the actual visible image part of the display. You get an idea of the size of the bezels. There's no home button. There's no notch. And
you just took away my first follow-up question. Now, is the notch?
I was anticipating it because I figured someone would want to know. But the regular button placement, you still have the sleep wake power button on the top and the volume rockers on the right when you're holding it in portrait mode. So,
and it does have a home button.
No home button.
No,
the bezels are narrower, but not as narrow as you would expect, which let me rephrase that. Not as narrow as many people were expecting. They're what I expected, because I get that when you're holding something that size, you're putting fingers on the display area to hold it stable in your hands. So you need a little bit wider non-touch area for your thumbs.
Yeah. You need a place for your thumbs.
Yeah. And so you have that. It's narrower than it was, but it's still big enough that you're not going to have to worry about accidental taps on interfaces because you have a little bit of space there. Of course, you don't see.
Now, is it?
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, is it proportional like we've seen with the previous iPads? You know, like, yes, there's a wider bezel at the air quote bottom for the home button. Right. But the sides are skinnier. So is this the same sort of thing where if you were holding it with the power button at the top, the top and the bottom have a little bit more bezel and it's still narrower on the sides like we've seen with previous iPads?
No, it looks like the bezel is the same all the way around. So here's where I see a potential problem, because we know Face ID doesn't work upside down.
How do you tell which way is up?
It's going to be a little more difficult to tell which way is up on the new iPad. But it's supposed to work in a landscape mode for Face ID. So it may not be as big of a deal, but I'm expecting a lot of people are going to be picking up their iPads and turning it around a lot, which I do with my iPhone X. I pick it up and have to flip it around like, it feels like half the time.
Yeah, and I never realized how much I was using the home button as navigational aid until Mr. Kelly got an iPhone X. And when it's completely black, it's kind of hard to tell. Mm-hmm. So you know, he for quite a while would pick it up and have to flip it over. So I can see that being an issue. Now, one of the other things that we've the other nice thing about the home button is it makes a nice landmark, especially if you're somebody who's talking to someone on the phone who's calling you because they're having some sort of problem. Is, you know, well, where's the home button? It's at the top, it's on the left, it's on the right, it's on the bottom. And then that way you can get sort of oriented with, okay, now I know how you're looking at what you're looking at. Like, you know, we can go from there. One of the other things we have seen some rumors of is a new iteration of the pencil. Mm-hmm. Right, Jeff?
Right. Yeah, so we've been hearing rumors about a new Apple Pencil for a while. And what Steve Troughton Smith, who is well known for digging through code and finding all these cool little things, he found code references to gestures on the Apple Pencil. So meaning you move your finger on the barrel of the pencil and it performs some action. So probably things like switching brush sizes, changing ink colors when you're drawing and painting, and possibly it will be a physical button as well. So you can it depends on how developers use it. Maybe it'll do the contextual menu sort of thing that we get with 3D touch. Maybe it will do things in specific apps, but it's sounding like Apple Pencil is going to get more functionality this time around. And that seems pretty interesting to me, especially since when I'm using my pencil, I do spend, and I didn't think about it till today when we saw this rumor, I do spend a lot of time switching from drawing to moving the pencil in my hand so I can use a finger and tap on a brush and change a brush size or a brush color, and then going back to drawing with the Apple Pencil again. And maybe now, as I'm drawing, I can just quickly tap or swipe on a side button and change to whatever I want it to be and keep going, which will it'll be faster and smoother.
Okay. So let's sound off. I got a 10.4. I got the baby iPad Pro last Christmas. So I'm set for a while. My iPad upgrade cycle is even longer than my phone upgrade cycle. So I'm set there. I'm curious about the new pencil, and my hope for tomorrow's event is new AirPods, because I've been holding off because it's been about long enough that it's time for them to be revised. So I'm sort of hoping that if I just wait, I don't have to spend $150 and then have to spend another $150. So welcome to the Budget Mac podcast with Kelly. So that's what I'm up to. Dave, are you in the market for either a new iPad or a new pencil?
The pencil isn't a thing that really is useful in my life. Just based on the way I use my devices, rarely is it a thing. So no to the pencil, potentially to a new iPad. I have a 10.5-inch iPad Pro right now that serves me well. I like the slightly smaller size, right, of the 9.7. So that's interesting to me. I'm looking curiously. Yeah. Yeah. It's not a definite, but what's that going to look like? So yeah, I'm curious.
So for someone with actual miles on an Apple Pencil, Jeff, what are you thinking about for tomorrow? Are you in the market?
I'm in the market. I'm rocking an OG iPad Pro. So 2.9-inch first gen, with an Apple Pencil and smart keyboard cover that I bought it all at the same time. And it's been fantastic. And the idea of a new iPad Pro with a better screen and more horsepower and a new Apple Pencil to go along with it. Yeah, I'm very interested in what Apple introduces tomorrow.
I am not surprised. I think we're going to go ahead and leave it there, except that I would like to find out from everybody what you're in the market for tomorrow, if anything. And Jeff, for old time's sake, do you want to tell the people how they can reach us?
Sure. You can send us messages on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can leave comments in the show notes. And you can also send emails. That's observations@macobserver.com.
Excellent. All right. This has been the Daily Observations podcast for October 29th. We will talk to you tomorrow. And until then, be excellent to each other.